T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guys are excited. I hadn't talked to him about how he feels and his emotions, but I think, you know, we get a bunch of those guys back. Starling, Schwartz, John, be on the bump. You know, he'll be out to prove, you know, there's a lot of bragging rights at stake when you get to face your former teammates and friends. So I think everybody's looking forward to it. I'm sure he is. I think we are. It's just nice to see somebody that you've made history with and that you have a long relationship with for a lot of these guys. And it was a big part of this organization with the guys that are still here. So I think we're all excited.
David Ross, the manager of the Cubs, as they begin a series tonight against the Washington Nationals, and John Lester and Kyle Schwarber making their return. I'm Chris Ranji in for Bernstein. Layla Rahimi, she is here as well. And we go to the guest hotline brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan and Melrose Park.
That's right. Jessica Camerato covers the Nationals for MLB.com. I worked with her when she was at CSN Philly, and I was there too. And Jessica, the reason we are talking to you today is because we're nosy, and we want to know how John Lester and Kyle Schwarber are doing. We want to have you on because we're nosy. We want to know how John Lester and Kyle Schwarber are doing. And Lester had a very candid discussion with the media ahead of this start, where he talked about not getting the proper goodbye that he wanted. His last start at Wrigley, not in front of fans in September. There will be fans there tonight. But first and foremost, how is he doing on this team?
Well, he, like a lot of players, are kind of starting on a delay because, you know, they did have the situation with the positive COVID cases on the team. So he was one of the players, because of the IL, that got a delayed start. And actually, you know, going back to spring training, having that parathyroid procedure. The thing about Lester is, in spite of all of this, I mean, you guys know, like, he's such a professional. He's not going to sit there and complain and be like, well, I had this surgery and then I got delayed and then I was on the IL and I was delayed. Like, there's no excuses with him. He's just very methodical about his approach and just very real about it. Like, there were reasons why this was off to a slower start, and then there will be time that it needs to take to build up. But he, you know, provides that veteran element to that starting rotation with so many strong, big personality pitchers, you know, like a Max Scherzer, like a Steven Strasburg, who's super intense. Lester said that he was just there just to be a fly on the wall. So he fits in perfectly with what they're trying to do with their rotation, and just needs some time still to get caught up.
Yeah, I mean, it's only 16 innings that he's thrown so far, and obviously the numbers haven't been there. But you mentioned him sort of being a leader in that clubhouse. How well is he fitting in? Because by all accounts, everywhere he's ever been, he's been a terrific teammate.
Well, the good thing for him is he's already been teammates with about half of the Washington Nationals, who have become Cubs 2.0 this season. But, you know, he has that reputation even before Chicago when he was at Boston, that he's somebody that people, you know, when he does want to talk, they'll listen to. And when he wants to observe, that's also another way for them to learn. But, you know, he has his built-in longtime teammate, Kyle Schwarber. He's there. So he's already familiar with a lot of the team, and also very familiar with Davey and a lot of the coaching stuff. So that makes a big difference.
We got to hear a really candid press conference from him, and we'll play a little bit of that audio after you and I talk. But it was nice to hear him just give the perspective of understanding how odd last year was from his side of things, having that last start, not being able to say goodbye properly. What were your takeaways and impressions from what he did have to say in all of that?
Well, he's somebody that definitely holds Chicago near and dear to his heart, as you know, it's very mutual from the fan base to him as well. So I think that tonight is going to be really exciting. I can't even imagine how difficult it is and the challenges of a pitcher or a player, you know, just giving their all and pouring so much into the fan base. And then their last season, the fans aren't even around. So I think his return to Chicago is going to have an extra layer of being special and significant, because in a weird way, it's not just like a welcome back. It's also a goodbye at the same time.
You know, I mean, you're covering the Nationals and they're focused on what they're doing, you know, over the weekend, but I would have to imagine at least part of them is thinking about this week leading up in the 4-game series that starts tonight. Was it the sort of thing that you have to actually go and ask them about it? Or do you feel like they were dying to talk about it, but, you know, both Lester and Schwarber?
The big thing that Davey Martinez preaches is just the go 1-0 today. So if you ask the Nationals about, like, an upcoming series, or even on a Friday, you ask them about a Saturday or Sunday game of the same series, they are focused on that specific day. So, of course, this series was, you know, looming and approaching quickly with so many ties, but they were very clear over the weekend. You know, they were in Arizona, and Arizona was their focus.
We're talking to Jessica Camerato. She covers the Nationals from MLB.com, who are in town tonight to begin their series with the Cubs. And Jessica, we've discussed Lester as far as an emotional standpoint is concerned, but he did have a nice start his last time out. I know it's a small sample size, still providing some effectiveness there as far as what he's expected to do as a piece in this rotation. Knowing that this Cubs offense has struggled, what do you expect to see out of him as he gets going this evening?
I expect him to go out there and be fully competitive. He was talking about how he has friends on the other side and how maybe some of those at-bats are going to be fun and have a little extra meaning to them. But, you know, he knows what's on the line for the Nationals. Every game is important, especially in a competitive NL East. So I think he'll get those hellos and how are yous out of the way before the game, and then maybe a few pitches, there'll be some smiles, but then I expect all business from him.
They're not limiting innings for him, or are they at this point?
No, and the thing with the starting rotation actually is the Nationals need as many innings as possible from their starters. Their bullpen had been taxed so much earlier in the season, and so they're looking for guys to go as deep as they can.
When Davey Martinez was first asked about Lester and him joining this team, what did Davey have to say about him?
He talked about his character, and that's something that has come up multiple times. And when Lester had the parathyroid surgery during spring training, and given his medical history, of course, there were a lot of extra concerns as to what does any medical procedure with him mean. You saw like outpours from the players and the Nationals staff, as well as comments from the Cubs coaching staff. And I remember asking Davey, like, why did Lester garner such a strong reaction? And he said, it's his character. It's who he is as a person, who he is as a competitor, a player, and a teammate. So that's what's really stood out to me about what Martinez has said about him.
How does Kyle Schwarber fit in?
He is that, like, well, here's how he fits in. He's that energy, you know, he's like that burst of energy. So he hit a walk-off home run recently, and then that was the night that Davey decided to start the rally helmet, which is a hockey helmet as a gift from the Capitals. And this kind of summed up the dynamic perfectly. Schwarber comes out, he does his post-game Zoom, and he's in the rally helmet. Because, of course, you know, he won the game. It was also Lester's first start of the season. So Lester's waiting in the room, and Schwarber's like, do you think I can get him to wear it? He won't wear it. And then Lester puts the helmet on, and, you know, Schwarber's all excited about Lester getting in on it. So Lester answers, like, one question in the rally helmet, which Schwarber wore the whole interview, and Lester's like, all right, I got to take this thing off. But it just goes to show, like, the fun spirit and nature that Schwarber brings to this team, and then getting his teammates involved as well. He's somebody who also has been, you know, like Lester and like a lot of the guys on this team, just looking for consistency, but he's very open. He's not saying, oh yeah, everything's fine. Like, he does talk about how he wants to find that consistency and how it will come, but while maintaining a positive outlook on everything.
Well, the Nationals have a respected offense. It's still in the top 10 in baseball. And Schwarber had a good game his last time out, batted cleanup, went 2-for-4, had that 2-out RBI. So how have you seen him try to find that consistency? And getting to bat cleanup in that lineup, I think, is still respectful, too.
Oh, yeah. And he's, you know, he talks about how he's just looking to find a rhythm. During the offseason when he signed with the Nationals, they had the hitting coach, Kevin Long, actually went out to visit him. They spent some time together adjusting his swing. The term he phrased is like more squatting, getting an adjustment in his stance. So this definitely has been something that he wants to make like a work in progress in a good way and keep on continuing and improving. But a lot of these guys, you know, they enjoy hitting behind Trey Turner, behind Juan Soto. So there is a lot of power in that top part of the lineup, like you mentioned.
I feel like we're not talking enough about Juan Soto this year because we've spent so much time talking about Tatis and Vlad Jr. And there's so many really great young players that are in the game right now. And for a dude who's as good as he is, and maybe he's down a little bit this year, but he's so much fun. I have to imagine he's really fun to cover as well.
He's one of those players that as the numbers like accumulate, you also do a double take and just remember how young he is. And I think that's what makes him so intriguing and so special to watch is we have only seen like the teeniest, tiniest glimpse of what his career could hold. So the standard has been set very high, winning the Silver Slugger Award and the NL batting title last year. And then, you know, receiving MVP type votes with him and Tatis and Acuna, like there's so much young talent that's going to be so exciting to watch. So Soto, he also is another player that had an IL stint for the Nationals. He's looking to get the ball off the ground. He's been hitting a lot of ground balls lately, but you know, once he gets that rhythm, the home runs can just fly out of the park. He makes it look so easy.
That is a big concern as far as this team facing the Cubs pitchers who are known for being soft tossers and sometimes big innings occur because if they're not hitting their spots, guys like Soto can turn on one and they can start to really make something happen offensively. That's my biggest concern with this series is just seeing this offense match up against the Cubs pitching staff.
And that's something to keep in mind too, because Soto was looking for that moment to click. Like he's looking to have that one big game and then carry that momentum. So he's eager to get that going.
What about the National League East? I think this is it's an incredibly intriguing division because the Nats are in last place right now, but they're only 3 games out. So, I mean, you're talking about 5 teams separated by 3 games. It is the closest division of any division now as we're getting into the middle of May. How do you see it with the Mets leading, Phillies right behind them? The Braves have been underwhelming. So, I mean, you look at the entire National League East. How do you see the Nats in the context of it?
From the very beginning of the season, when looking at the NL East, I feel like there's an asterisk and it's just like, when healthy or who's healthy. So much of that comes down to players they have available. I mean, we saw the Nats start off the season with a bunch of players on the IL. And then when they got back, Steven Strasburg is still looking to return. So they haven't been fully healthy. And then you look and injuries can just strike at any time. It could come down to, are the Nationals playing the Mets when one of the teams is shorthanded? So when you look at the division, it's one of those things where I'm writing stories and I'm like, and the Nationals moved up to this place in the standings. And the next day, it's something completely different. It's still so early and there are so many circumstances that can affect how this shakes out.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time today, Jessica, and helping us at least be a little nosy as to what's going on with some former Cubs that we still want to keep tabs on. And you too, by the way.
I like the term. Being nosy can be fun, so this is a good time.
Oh, gosh. Layla is the nosiest.
Seriously.
Just the nosiest.
She knows that from Philly. Just is caught up.
Jessica, thanks for hanging out with us for a minute.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That is Jessica Camerato with MLB.com. She covers the Nationals. You can follow her on Twitter at Jessica Camerato. And she was brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, apnissan.com. Let's hear more from John Lester. Layla, what do you say? We'll do that when we come back here on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
The man with the plan, Matt Nagy himself. Matt, do you believe you're a better football team right now than you were at the end of last year?
I do. And that's every year's different, but we feel like we got more depth probably now than we've had in the last 3 years. Depth creates competition, but it makes you a better team.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's Sports Station and Odyssey Station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, John, do you talk to those guys much? And are you surprised at all that, you know, Riz, Javi, KB might be gone after this year?
I talk to Riz quite a bit. I talk to Hap quite a bit. You know, obviously, Rossi and I stay in contact. You know, a few of the other guys, VJ, Danny, those guys in the clubhouse, talk to them quite a bit as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think, I guess that kind of goes back to the question earlier. I mean, it'll be weird if those guys, if all three of those guys leave and become free agents and go somewhere else. It'll be definitely weird seeing them in different uniforms. But it's kind of the, you know, unfortunately, that's the nature of what we do. You know, the Cubs have a business to run, and they have to do what they feel is necessary to set them up for the future, whether it be financially or guys on the field. So it's a hard thing to separate, but, you know, hopefully those guys are all there and it's a kind of a mute question, and, you know, they continue to have that core and move forward, but I'm sure it'll be very hard to keep all three of them there. But yeah, definitely a little different, you know, Cubs look if all three of them aren't there.
No way that's a mute question, because I heard it. Leila Rahimi and Chris Ranji on The Score. Well, I'm in for Dan. Dan is on assignment.
Dan's out of the state. Dan's on assignment. Dan's participating in the Tournament of Anxiety.
Yes.
Dan's arguing for his own sentence before he's committed a crime.
Yes. And he's somewhere in a diner sending back a sandwich because it wasn't prepared the way he wanted it.
Hey, can I ask you something real quick? I know we have stuff to get to, and we're always going to be late to break. Were you here the day that they found out about Cutler?
I wasn't in the studio. I was. I think I may have worked that night, but I do remember listening to the station during the day. And I remember pretty much every host saying, we finally have a real quarterback in town.
Okay, so maybe tomorrow, if it's less crazy of a day, we discuss when you were here when that day happened, because Keller doesn't care about anything and it would be fun. Also, shout out to VJ, the Cubs traveling secretary, who is mentioned by John Lester. He never gets any credit publicly and he's awesome. Just
traveling secretaries, they never do, man. They never do. Is Ed Casson still with the White Sox? I think he is.
That's
right?
A good question. Yeah, they're beloved, aren't they?
Yeah, they get it done, man. Anything you want them to do, they take care of it. They're very, very good. And Casson gets like an hour of sleep.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Scandal. They're like Olivia Pope. That's how I liken it.
Oh, that's
we're getting way off base.
Yeah,
they don't want to hear from us. They want to hear from John Lester.
All right, so let's hear from Lester. And of course, if you're on the 2016 Cubs, if you were on that team, it's kind of difficult not to think about that, right?
You know, I'm excited to see my guys, you know, see my buddies, you know, get to catch up with guys that I haven't seen in a while. And, you know, those relationships that you build over the years, you know, being there. So that I'm excited for that. You know, like I said, I'm excited for the fans to be there. I don't know what to expect. You know, I'm not really expecting anything. I'm expecting to go back and hopefully pitch well. And like I said, see the guys that you know, I got to build relationships with over the last 6 years and really looking forward to that. You know, a lot of guys you don't talk to a lot. So it'll be nice to see those guys. You know, I'm excited to get back there. It's a cool and special place.
Unrelated or overlapping, I guess. You've answered the question about the magnitude of what you guys accomplished in your time there, particularly those first couple of years. But has anything sunk in even more since you've left in regards to that, and particularly 15 and 16? I mean, people say that, you know, you're the best free agent signing in the history of the Cubs, maybe in Chicago. I don't know how you feel about that debate, but between you and Kyle Schwarber too, and what he meant to those years.
Yeah. I mean, I think being able to do what we did early on, you know, signing there, and you have all these expectations and all these goals going into, you know, this new chapter in your life, a new chapter in your career. And to get there and kind of have everything click from day one was awesome. You know, I think it really helped the younger guys. It helped me personally. Just, you know, coming there, you have all this stuff on your back. You know, you're the guy that's supposed to come and help win a World Series and carry the team and, you know, all that. And, you know, that can be a lot. That can be a lot of anxiety and a lot of pressure. And for us to go out, you know, for Jake to do what he did in 15, I think took pressure off of me. And then Kyle pitching the way he pitched also took pressure off of me to be able to just kind of fall in and take the ball and pitch. And then to go to the playoffs and realize that we are good, you know, and I think doing that in 15 really opened a lot of guys' eyes, you know, especially some guys that had never won in Chicago, you know, been on those losing seasons, you know, 3-4 years prior to when I got there. So to kind of see that light bulb go off in those guys' eyes and like realize, hey, we're good. This is something special. I think when we lost in 15, everybody knew, like, I can't wait to get to spring training because we're going to win next year. And it was just kind of a mindset, something we talked about, something that really nobody shied away from. So it was, to answer your question, it was nice to win in the first 2 years. For me personally, I think it took a lot of pressure off of me. And then we fulfilled the contract, I guess, type thing. Then I was just able to go out and pitch after that.
You know, what he says about that 2015 team is, it's fascinating to me because I think it happens a lot in baseball where a team has a bit of a breakout year where you think, okay, these guys have arrived. And then maybe the next year doesn't go quite as planned. Like, you think it's the beginning of something. Like, you know, they don't win the World Series, but they make a statement. And your first thought is, okay, this is real now. And then the following year is a dud. They followed it up with a World Series. Like, they actually went through with it. And I think it's remarkable thinking back on that now, because if you remember, you know, that 2015 postseason going into it, you're like, okay, like, just like he said, these guys are legit.
Oh, absolutely. I remember I was working at MLB Network at the time, and I was intently watching the playoff race in the Central in 2015, which, as you know, didn't just involve the Cubs. And to see it all shake out the way it did, and for them to lead the way they did with those expectations, practically wire to wire,
yeah,
that was, I think that's still lost on a lot of people, that level of accomplishment.
And Layla, speaking of that 2015 team, Lester was asked what sort of advice he would give to himself if he could go back and do it.
Gosh, I would probably say slow down. You know, like when to kind of go back, like in spring training, you know, you come in the new guy, you get, you know, all this awesome contract and all this hype, and you want to pitch a no-hitter from day one. So, like, I would say slow down. Be you, take your time, and it'll all fall into place. I think I remember having a conversation with Rossi in 15, and, you know, obviously y'all know I didn't get off to a great start. And he pulled me aside at the hotel one day. We were on the road, and he goes, hey, I need to talk to you real fast, and pulled me aside. He goes, you just need to be you. Quit worrying about, you know, trying so hard to get everybody out before the game starts. Like, just pitch your game and everything will kind of fall into place. And from there, I felt a lot more comfortable and kind of slowed down a little bit. But I think I didn't slow down enough for a while. And, you know, we all know time goes by so fast. You know, like I said in my press conference last year when it was my last start at Wrigley, you know, I didn't know 6 years could go by so fast. And that's 100%. You know, you turn around, like I said, 6 years. I mean, that's a long time, but it goes by in a blink of an eye. And I think looking back at that, I had so many good times there that I wish I could have just slowed down a little bit and enjoyed them, sat back a little bit and enjoyed it a little bit more.
It is one of the oldest stories in baseball. Guy signs a huge contract with a team that thinks it's going to a World Series, and they immediately want to have that pay for that entire contract like right away. It often doesn't work out, and you're going to an organization. You just came from an organization that has a lot of expectations inherently, and then you're going to another one, and that's also has the same feeling, like they're going to win a World Series for the first time ever. I'm sure difficult to deal with.
Oh, I said it for 2 years running, doing Cubs pregame shows for NBC Sports Chicago on Baseball Night in Chicago, that guys like Max Scherzer and the like, oh, John Lester money, because he backed up that contract.
Yeah.
He's one of the few who backed up that contract every single year.
And these guys want to back it up in like their first five starts, like the entirety of the contract. They want to back it up right away. Like that first month, they want to say, see, this was a good, it was a good signing. It's a good thing that you all picked me up. I'm proving myself. And a lot of times it sort of backfires. So when it all came to an end here in Chicago, the $25 million option for this season, the Cubs did not pick up. And, you know, you can't blame them for doing that. That was the right call. Any hard feelings, though?
I mean, I think it's natural, right? I mean, you know, I had to get over some stuff leaving Boston. You know, that's I think the fan and the people on the outside don't understand a lot of times what we do, you know, what we invest in the places that we're at, you know. So Chicago was my home for 6 years, you know, like we have a house there, like my kids have grown up there, you know what I mean? Like, so you invest in a city, like your heart, your mind, your soul, you're invested in that place that you're working. And when you're no longer there and you have to make a decision, you know, in our case, make a decision on where you want to go and what you want to do. Yeah, there's emotions involved. You know, the hard part about this game is the business side. You have to separate your heart and business. And sometimes that can be difficult. Sometimes it's easy. You know, sometimes you just make your heart makes decisions for you. So, you know, yeah, I think it's only natural as a human being to go through a phase where, you know, you question, you know, certain things, but, you know, once you kind of separate that and realize that, hey, it's a business and they need to make a decision and I need to make a decision and, you know, we go our separate ways. And, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, I think it's only natural.
Yeah, and especially with a team that was not going to commit, not that they're not committing anything to payroll, but you knew it wasn't going to be a massive payroll this year. I mean, it was an automatic that they weren't going to pick up that contract, pick up that option, especially after the way his prior season went, and he didn't have the numbers. It wasn't, you know, a 5.16 ERA and the fielding independent pitching number was right in line with it, just over five. He's pitching a lot better so far this year, even though his ERA is really good. It's a 2.25 now, and the FIP is good at 3.20. So far in his 16 innings, he looks a whole lot better, but you can't really blame the Cubs for the way the end of the contract worked out. And yeah. I don't blame him for being upset about it. I mean, it's on both ends. I don't blame anybody.
Frankly, for both parties, it was a good contract because
yeah,
the Cubs ended up ending their relationship with Lester at the exact right time. It worked out.
Yeah.
And usually that means that both parties don't exactly get what they want. There's something else that I want to point out of his press conference that I think is worth discussing. And that was the round that he bought everybody in Chicago on his way out. It ended up being $47,000, the tab. I think it was Miller Lite.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Jordan, did you get a beer on John Lester's tab?
I did not. I wish I would have.
I had a couple friends do, and he tipped 34%, by the way, which I thought was so cool, supporting local bars in Chicago, especially at a time when everybody was hurting. And he was asked if that was a bit more than he was expecting, and he goes, God almighty, no. I realize that Chicago likes beer, so that's good.
You didn't know that? I mean, if you remember, Layla, I know you remember this, and I tell people about it all the time, people who aren't from Chicago, don't live there. The time the Bears played in Tennessee, and I think the Blackhawks were playing the Predators in the same weekend, and they literally drank Nashville out of beer. The Chicago yeah. people visiting drank bars were like, we have no more beer. We're out of beer because you Chicago weirdos are coming in and you're drinking all of our beer. The Tribune covered it. I think the Sun-Times covered it too. I know NBC Sports covered it. It was all over, and it happened. And I remember a bunch of my friends went down. They took an RV down there, and they were there for a couple of days. And they came back and said, yeah, all the bars, they ran out of beer. And you think, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. But no, they all ran out of beer because we drink too much up here.
Roaring 20s, kids. Pandemic is on its way out. Let's go.
Hey, you know that's going to happen. It was 2012, yep. Right, Jay? I think that's when it happened, November of 2012. That was a hell of a weekend. I wish I would have gone to it, but just hearing that they put Nashville out of business almost. Just incredible.
Almost. Hey, by the way,
mm-hmm.
You know how I decided to watch the thing that I don't know why I was watching it last night?
Wait a minute.
What, it was the Bulls game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't have Vooch or Zach LaVine. Cool stuff happened in that game. We should probably talk about it.
We can. We didn't even bring up the White Sox who were in first place all day.
I know. And the slide and the two crazy base running plays where there could have been two outs at home and that. Oh, okay. We can't talk about that right now. We got to talk Sox tomorrow. What about Danks?
Yeah, we'll talk about Sox tomorrow. They're 2.5 games up in the division. They lead. God bless
them. Power rankings number one in baseball.
Actually, they have the biggest division lead of any team right now in baseball. So good for them.
So prepare for that tomorrow.
Yeah,
but we got to talk about something in the Bulls game.
Yeah, the Bulls season is over, and my God, they won. Great. Did you have to, though? Leila Rahimi, Chris Ronji on the score.
Molly.
And Haw here, mornings 5 to 9.
More and more of you are getting back in the car and driving to work every day.
Remember to turn on the score in your car when you start your commute. We'll be right there with you talking Chicago sports.
So take us with you on your way to work.
Molly and Haw, mornings 5 to 9 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
An Odyssey station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Leila Rahimi and Chris Ronji on the score until 12. Lawrence is going to join us in a little bit. I'm in for Dan Bernstein today and tomorrow. And, you know, appreciate you letting me hang out with you. Leila,
the
Bulls. Me? I'm the worst?
The whole thing. Our combination's terrible.
What? You and me? You think the two of us, you think we're a bad combination?
No, I just laugh because it's always like something gets discussed and we're ridiculous and it's fun. We haven't gone off the rails today. I applaud us for
being too much going on.
Focused.
There was no, Leila, there was no room for us to do that.
There really wasn't.
We're professionals, so, you know, just kind of keep going. Yeah,
sure.
We're pros.
Lawrence will help us out.
Yeah,
but we kind of also ignored big things like Kyle Hendricks had a really good start. We'll talk Sox with Lawrence, whatever.
Yeah, we will talk White Sox with Lawrence when he joins the show here in a little bit. But okay, so the Bulls won last night, final game of the season. They finish with 31 wins this year in a 72 game season. The last thing you wanted them to do was win the game. And I know the players on the floor, you know, they're trying to win. They're not trying to lose. When you're out there, you want to win. You're not thinking about anything else.
Well, the Bucks decided to rest everybody once they found out what seeding they were going to get, and that's what threw it all off.
Yeah, and they won, and so their chances of a top four pick dropped 6 points. They went from a 26% chance to get a top four pick now down to 20.3. Or 20.3 now. Look, and so they went from a 1-4 chance of getting that top four to a 1-5 chance, which I just did some quick math for you. You're welcome. That was not a desired outcome, and I don't know. Maybe there's some value in winning a game at the end of the year for the young players, but I don't think there's that much.
Man, I'm going to say it. I am pro the players, of course. Like, players aren't designed to tank, but man, I am. They should have tanked that game any way they could have. And it was a contest to see who was going to get to the tank last night. Jordan and I were both the ones watching this, and I'm like, why am I watching this game? Why?
It's the last time you'll see Felicio in a Bulls uniform. Come on, gotta watch it.
Pour one out for Felicio!
Is that your guy, Leila? Do you love Felicio?
I think he's just symbolic of this era of the Bulls, is he not?
A very good way to put it.
Yeah. You know, though, you don't have LaVine playing. Vooch isn't playing. You can't lose that game.
No, because the Bucks decided to start like some dude. It became the Arch Dante DiVincenzo Villanova matchup. That's what that game became.
Well, I mean, they did have an Antetokounmpo playing. It wasn't that one, but they had one playing, so.
Man.
I think they could at least get a win.
Yeah, not Giannis. Thonis.
Yeah, not Giannis. It was the other one. It was his brother. Yeah, so Yeah, that's a real bummer. So I hope it doesn't. I mean, there's no way to know what would have happened had they lost and had that 26% chance of the top four pick. But you know their odds are lower now, which kind of stinks. That's
where
they were.
They're getting number seven. They're getting the seventh pick. It's happening. Let's just all face this.
I think the numbers are that they have, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's something like a 61% chance they'll end up with 10.
That is not.
I think that's correct. Isn't that right, Jordan?
Correct. They have to do a coin flip with New Orleans and Sacramento because they're all tied for eighth. And so if they lose the coin flips, they could potentially be not eight, but 10, like you were talking about.
Yeah. So before they lost, their odds of the eighth pick overall were 34.5% chance of getting that pick and a 36% chance of picking nine. But, you know, if you combine the 1 through 4 pick odds, it would have been like a 4.5% chance of getting the one pick and then 4.8, 5.2, 5.7. So they kind of look it. Their odds are much worse now, but, you know, it doesn't. Who knows what's going to happen here? They got Derrick Rose when they had like a 2% chance.
We kind of know. Like the NBA tries to make it so we don't know, but I have my theories.
So last night on the broadcast, there was a lot of thanking going on. End of the year broadcast. And this was the NBC Sports Chicago broadcast, correct? Yeah.
Yes.
So a lot of people to thank when it's the final game of the season. Here's Adam and Stacey.
Appreciate Chuck and Bill on the radio side, and Rich Wyatt as well.
Yes, Rich.
A phenomenal crew. We're very, very fortunate to have such a great radio crew and our partners at 670 The Score, Mitch Rosen and everybody there, who have done a fantastic job on the radio all year as well. And just appreciate everybody for bringing me in. I'm just waiting to see if Chuck's going to dance tonight.
Yeah. No. Let's just stop that. Let's just act like you do.
That's the jumper.
I love Chuck. I love Chuck. Chuck's my guy. But that dance he's been doing, boy.
We use that word loosely.
Yeah.
Use that word loosely.
Yeah, real loose. Yeah.
We should all have as much joy in our lives as Chuck Swirsky does.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. I got a lot of energy. I ain't got that much energy.
Yeah, Chuck's the man.
he got too much energy for me.
Yeah, Bill was dressed ready for Cancun today.
Oh man, he like had a Tommy.
Weddington's ready to go.
Bahamas shirt on with a matching red derby.
Weddington's already ready to go on.
Can we get a camera shot over to those guys? I mean,
if Russ can show me Billy at some point, we just got to show the shirt.
There's his little hat.
He looks like Bruce Arians right now.
No, he looks like that little guy that sits in your yard, and you know the little derby, the little jockey thing.
Are you saying he's a lawn dog?
Look at him. Yeah, little lawn jockey. That's why you look at that little hat. And there's the great Chuck Swirsky.
Wonderful radio.
Yeah, wonderful radio
right
guy.
There,
I'm telling you, man.
Look at that. Look at this shirt.
There it is.
He's ready for Cancun right now.
1, 2, 3, Cancun. He's got his shirt. He's got his shirt on.
He ain't hanging around. No. Chuck's going to be doing the post-game show by himself.
Look at him.
And Billy's going to be on a flight already.
Yeah, he's got that Tommy Bahama shirt on right now. You know, he's probably got a little fruity drink up there with a little umbrella in it. I mean, the Bulls have got a lot of good people working here. It's a lot of fun, man. You know, it's a lot of fun coming to work.
Swirsky's an incredible dancer, by the way.
Listen, if somehow they get the number four pick, we're dancing.
Well, you can dance.
No, everybody's dancing.
What I'm saying is feel free to. I won't be doing it.
Listen,
not
here.
A dancer. What?
You got to participate in anxiety and dancing if you're on this show. That's the rule.
I don't share the anxiety that exists on the rest of this show. And Layla informed me this morning that Bernstein, I knew, he's Mr. Anxious. Jay has anxiety. Jordan Malley has anxiety. Like, I mean, calm down, people.
They're anxious that we're not going to break right now.
All right. See, they're anxious about this break. We got to do that. When we come back, Lawrence Holmes will join us on The Score.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show on your ride home. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
I think it's just pretty incredible if you do want to zoom out and look at it big picture with all the things that have happened to the White Sox, where they still are. It really is a testament to how talented the team is, how bad the division is. Like, that's part of it.
Which is why they can survive and win their division, even with their manager costing them 2 or 3 games every 30.
Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel. Afternoons 2 to 6. On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.